Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. How many, I guess, how many of our guests are here for the first time again? Just can you? Okay, good. Yeah, so that's kind of like the end of the formalities. So from this point onwards, hopefully it should be all stuff you can understand and relate to. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read a translation and a commentary from this book, Bhagavad Gita, which is the it's our scripture. It's the equivalent of the Bible for followers of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita actually means song of God. It was spoken by Krishna himself when he was personally present here on earth 5,000 years ago. So I'll read a statement that was made by Krishna, the Sanskrit, the English, and then I'll read a commentary on that statement that was written by our founder, a spiritual master and founder, Acharya's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In plain and simple language, he's the person who brought the Krishna conscious movement over from India and to here to America and then spread it throughout the rest of the world starting in 1965. Okay, so the translation will be what actually Krishna said 5,000 years ago when he was here, and the commentary will be what Srila Prabhupada, that's how we refer to him, has to say about that probably about 40 years ago when he wrote his commentary on that. Okay, so I'm reading from the chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge. Transcendental Knowledge, and I'm reading text 8. Paritranaya sadunam vinishaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Translation. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So that was said by Krishna 5,000 years ago when he's personally present here on earth. Now, purport. This is the commentary by Srila Prabhupada. According to Bhagavad Gita, a sadhu, holy man, is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness wholly and fully, he is to be understood to be a sadhu. A duskritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants, or duskritam, are described as foolish and the lowest of mankind, even though they may be decorated with mundane education. Whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may neither be learned or well-cultured. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with the demons Ravana and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons, but the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees, who are always harassed by the demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakasipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudev were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than kill Kamsa, but both were performed simultaneously. Therefore, it is said here that to deliver the devotee and to vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj, the following verses summarize these principles of incarnation. Quote, the avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead who so descends is called an incarnation or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. There are various kinds of avatars, such as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Lila avatars, Shaktivesh avatars, Manvantar avatars, and Yuga avatars, all appearing on schedule all over the universe. But Lord Krishna is the primeval Lord, the fountainhead of all avatars. Lord Sri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating the anxieties of the pure devotees, who are very anxious to see him in his original Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatar is to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. The Lord says that he incarnates himself in every millennium. This indicates that he incarnates also in the age of Kali. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the incarnation in the age of Kali is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who spread the worship of Krishna by the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy names, and spread Krishna consciousness throughout India. He predicted that this culture of Sankirtan would be broadcast all over the world, from town to town and village to village. Lord Chaitanya, as the incarnation of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is described secretly, but not directly, in the confidential parts of the revealed scriptures, such as the Upanishads, Mahabharat, and Bhagavatam. The devotees of Lord Krishna are very much attracted by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. This avatar of the Lord does not kill the miscreants, but delivers them by his causeless mercy. Om Agnatam Ananda Shadjanam Jana Shwaka Chakshula Militam Yana Tasma Shri Guru Venamaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pavunachananda Shri Advaita Gadadar Shri Vasari Govara Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam, which means Ishvara Paramakrishna, the supreme controller is Krishna. Satchitananda Vigraha, his body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Notice his body is completely spiritual. Anadir Adir Govinda, he's the original person, Sarvakarana Karanam, and he's the cause of all causes. So that's Krishna. So basically the idea, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is that the origin of everything, the origin of every phenomena, everything that's within our experience, everything that's beyond our experience, is a single person, Krishna, whose name is Krishna. Okay. One, a supreme being. Okay? And we are all expansions of Krishna. And Krishna expands as the living entities, technically referred to as Vibhinamsa, and also he expands as himself, which is called Svamsa. He expands personal expansions. So those are the two types of living beings, basically. They're the personal expansions of Krishna and the separated. We're called, the Vibhinamsas are referred to as the separated expansions of Krishna. So we're basically all part of the same spiritual family. Yeah. Not just human beings. When I say, you know, I'm referring to every living entity, every living thing, we have something in common with them. We're all part of the same spiritual family because, in essence, they are spiritual beings we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and they might be spiritual beings having a bird experience or a fish experience or, you know, an aquatic experience or a mammal experience. But in essence, they're all spiritual Vibhinamsas. We're all spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, and related to him like that. So we're all part of the same spiritual family. So the point is then that Krishna, originally we were all in the spiritual world, not just all of us Vibhinamsas, all us spirit souls, were in the spiritual world with Krishna, and we were engaged in an eternal loving relationship with Krishna, right? And that was very nice. Yeah. But in order for there to be a loving relationship, there has to be... A loving relationship can only exist in an atmosphere of freedom. See? So that's what the case is in the spiritual world. There's freedom. And all the living entities, all the spiritual people, and the citizens of the spiritual world have a little bit of free will. And basically, they have the free will to want either be willing to serve Krishna, but if they don't want to serve Krishna, they can exercise that as well. So when a living entity exercises that other option, that I don't want to serve Krishna for whatever reason, okay, then we come here. That's when we come here to the material world. Just like, to give an analogy, just like here in the United States, you have free citizens and you have people who are in prison. So if you know somebody's willingly, you know, agreeable to live in compliance or in submission to the will of the government, so to speak, then they're what's called a good citizen, and they have no problem. You know, they just move freely throughout society like that. But when somebody makes a decision
no, I think I'm going to try to live my life, you know, try to become happy living in defiance or in rebellion to the, you know, to the will of the government, then that person is becomes called what's called a criminal. And then they'll get thrown in jail, basically. After, you know, it's just a matter of time. They'll commit some criminal activity, they'll be caught, and they'll be put in jail. So we're like the criminals. We're, you know, as I said, there's the good citizens. They're in the spiritual world right at this very moment with Krishna. They're referred to also as Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated living entities. See, so some of the Vibhinamsas, that's us, are Nitya Siddha. They're eternally liberated. They're, right now, as we speak, they're in the spiritual world with Krishna, engaging in an eternal spiritual relationship with Him. Others, us, you know, are here in the material world due to this mistake we made of making that decision to try to be happy living in rebellion or defiance to, you know, the will of Krishna, the desire of Krishna. So the idea is that this material world is not a very, I mean, it's better than nothing. It's better than not existing, but it's not the best of all possible situations. I mean, you know, everybody from their own experience knows the different trials and tribulations a person has to experience being living in this material world, having a material body. Sometimes you get sick. Sometimes there's other people. There's different types of miseries. Adiatmik, adibhotik, adidaivik. There's miseries inflicted upon us by our own mind and body. You know, headaches, stomach aches, illness, and so forth and so on. There's miseries inflicted upon us by other living entities. Somebody's envious of us, or just, you know, whatever. They just want to make trouble, or like that. That's there too. And there's miseries inflicted upon us by daivi, or natural higher forces, such as earthquakes, hurricanes, that type of thing. You see? So, and on top of that, we whether we like it or not, we're forced to get old and die. So, as I said, it's better than nothing, but it's certainly not the best of all worlds, so to speak. You know, there's something better than this, and that is living in the spiritual world in a spiritual body, which is what we originally were, you know, have, and being in a personal loving relationship with Krishna. See, so we've come to this material world due to a mistake, and the idea is to correct the mistake and go back to the spiritual world and be with Krishna. You see? And as a means to that end, Krishna comes to help us. He can just like, once again, you know, this is the analogy of the prison. Sometimes, you know, people will go into the prison. They're social workers, counselors, whatever, like that. They're not the criminals. You know, they might look like, you know, they're moving amongst the criminals. They might even appear to be, you know, one of the criminals. These days, I don't know if they still dress the criminals in those black and white pinstripe suits, you know, not a pinstripe, but those black and white suits. You know. I think they just kind of wear something more like ordinary clothes. But anyway, you know, the people who, these social workers or whatever, that go into the prisons, they're in a different category. They're free to come and go as they please, you know, even though they're there and they're interacting with prisoners. So, in the same way, Krishna comes to this material world. He comes himself, personally, you know, as he did 5,000 years ago. He comes by sending his devotees. For what reason? To help us get out of here and go back to be with him in the spiritual world. Now, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, says in another commentary in another book he wrote that Krishna wants us back in the spiritual world more than we can imagine, more than we can understand. You know, he wants us to go back more than even we want to go back. See? And to that end, he comes to try to help us, to try to encourage us, inspire us to, you know, to correct that mistake we made of trying to become happy by living in defiance or in rebellion to his will, and you know, rectify our mentality. You know, to make that decision to try to seek our happiness by living in compliance or in submission to his will. So that's the reason why Krishna really comes to this material world. Prabhupada, in this statement here by Krishna himself, he says that to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the principles of religion. So, of course, that's correct. That's Krishna himself saying that. But the underlying, you know, the underlying principle, even behind even those activities of, you know, delivering the pious, because it's, in one sense, it's the pious don't need delivering. You know, pious is translated here, it's a translation of sadhunam. So sadhu, Prabhupada explains here in this purport, is a person who's holy and fully Krishna conscious. So a person who's holy and fully in Krishna conscious really doesn't need to be delivered. They're already delivered. They're already holy and fully Krishna conscious. See? And the Duskritin, you know, those who are, Duskritin is translated as miscreants. Krishna doesn't have to come to deal with them. He could, as once again, as Prabhupada points out in his purport here, he can destroy the Duskritin as by so many, you know, various methods. I mean, Krishna's the supreme controller. He could destroy Duskritinas by, you know, earthquakes or heart attacks or you name it. I mean, there's so many different ways which Krishna can deal with people who are he wants to punish in some way. He doesn't have to come personally to do that and to reestablish the principles of religion. See, so the real reason why behind Krishna's, all of Krishna's incarnations, it's really just, it's because we're here. It's because we're part of his spiritual family. You know, we're his wayward children, his wayward spiritual children. He comes to help us, you know, return to the spiritual world. So when Krishna comes, of course, that's different from us. You know, when Krishna comes, it's voluntary. You know, when an avatar is here, Krishna or Lord Chaitanya for that matter, they are not here, you know, it's all voluntary. I mean, they're descending, voluntarily descending, whereas we're forced to be here. And, another point that I wanted to make was sometimes it's observed that, like, for instance, in the case of Krishna, when he was here 5,000 years ago, he didn't, the avatar doesn't necessarily follow all the mundane rules and regulations of society. Like Krishna, for instance, performed what's called the rasa dance. You know, Krishna had a pastime where he was dancing with the wives of other people's, of other men, and in the dead of night. So this was considered highly immoral. But Krishna, there was nothing really immoral about that. And, you know, Krishna's doing that because, one, it was not materially motivated. Now, Krishna was actually just reciprocating with the desire of his devotees by performing that particular pastime. And also another point that's made elsewhere by Srila Prabhupada is that we cannot evaluate the activities of the very powerful but by the same criterion that we evaluate the activities of ordinary people. There's a statement in the Bhagavatam, Tejiyasam Nadoshaya, which means that in the very powerful, there's no fault. You know, just like Prabhupada would give the example, an analogy, just the sun. The sun can be, you know, the sun never becomes contaminated. If there's a big pool of, say, all filthy water, urine, this and that, and the sun shines on that, the sun doesn't become contaminated by shining on that, you know, filthy situation. Rather, the sun will evaporate the water and actually sterilize the entire situation. You see? So, in the same way, you know, anything Krishna, anything that's having to do with, comes in contact with Krishna is becoming purified. Krishna never becomes contaminated. Sometimes Krishna is referred to as prophylactic and antiseptic. He never becomes contaminated. That's prophylactic and antiseptic. Anything that is interacting with Krishna becomes purified. And another point that could be made is that, you know, Krishna, it's true that Krishna was, did perform that pastime of the rasa dancing. He was dancing with the wives of other men. But Krishna also lifted Govardhan Hill. See, it's not like, you know, we're not talking about an ordinary person. We're talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and held it up for 7 days with the little finger of his left hand. So sometimes Prabhupada would make the point that when you can do that, when you can lift up Govardhan Hill and, you know, with the little finger of your left hand and hold it up for 7 days, then, okay, then you can have a rasa dance. But until that time, maybe we should, you know, not consider doing that. Now, Prabhupada mentions here in his commentary, right in the last paragraph or so, that Krishna incarnates in every yuga, which means that he also incarnates in the Kali Yuga. But he does it, he incarnates in the Kali Yuga in a covered way. And that incarnation is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's a specific, special significance to the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, which is mentioned here in this purport, that in all the other incarnations, Krishna is delivering the pious and annihilating the miscreants. But in his incarnation as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually delivers the miscreants. That's the special nature of the appearance of Krishna as Lord Chaitanya in the Kali Yuga, that he's delivering the miscreants and not destroying them. And therefore, it's Prabhupada makes the statement that therefore the devotees of Krishna are very much attracted by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, because this avatar, Lord Chaitanya, does not kill the miscreants, but delivers them by his causeless mercy. And that's very nice to know, because it's explained in the someplace, I don't know exactly where, but in the Kali Yuga, that the miscreants and the sadhus are living in the same body. I mean, I've heard it described that in the Satya Yuga, the miscreants, you know, the demons and the devotees were living on separate planets. And in the next Yuga, they were living on the same planet, but different places. And the next Yuga, you know, Dwapara Yuga, the previous Yuga, they might be living, you know, like even in the same country, but in the Kali Yuga, they're living in the same person. You know, in the Kali Yuga, we all have, you know, some demoniac or some duskritana or suric tendencies. So these are actually, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even people from that background can be delivered and engaged in devotional service. So to follow this particular incarnation is very easy as well. There's one song by one of the predecessor acharyas, who's I think more or less a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya, Lochan Das Thakur, where he refers to the Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement as Kevala Ananda Kanda, which means simply joyful. And the reason for that is that, you know, while you know, in previous ages, maybe previous incarnations, one had to perform a lot of penance and austerities, and you know, the process for becoming a pure devotee was maybe quite difficult or a lot more challenging. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it's all been made very simple. Lord Chaitanya simply requests people to chant Hare Krishna and chant. I remember when I first joined, it was referred to chant, dance, and take prasadam. That's the process of Lord Chaitanya, chant, dance, and take prasadam. So, you know, practically speaking, who can't do that? Who can't chant? Certainly everybody could take prasadam. That's not, I mean, anybody could do that. And even chanting, you might find chanting a little bit difficult. I know kirtan, of course, is when everybody's chanting, that's easy. Maybe somebody might find it difficult to sit down and chant on beads. But, you know, you don't necessarily have to sit down and chant on beads. You can walk and chant on beads. Something I find very helpful is sometimes in the morning when it's time to chant japa, I might be feeling, you know, very lethargic. And so I go outside and I start walking, and especially if you walk around the time when the sun is rising, it seems like, you know, you just, I don't know, I think it's, I don't know if it's just my body or I think it's the human body in general, you tend to get a little extra energy around that time of the morning. It's like a, you know, special, okay, here's another day, go for it, you know. It's a little special mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, it becomes very easy to chant. Very easy to chant. You just go for a walk and, you know, while the sun is rising and chant, and you can, you know, chant very easily. So chanting and taking prasadam. Srila Prabhupada very frequently used to say that, you know, this process of devotional service begins with the tongue. The tongue has two functions. One is tasting and the other is vibrating. So tasting means taking prasadam, vibrating means chanting Hare Krishna, and talking and also talking about Krishna. So to follow this, to become Krishna conscious, following the process of this particular avatar, of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, is very easy. You know, we just have to simply chant and take prasadam. There are some rules and regulations that, you know, will eventually people will want to follow if they're very serious about making advancement in Krishna consciousness, but they're not difficult. They're not difficult to follow. If somebody, you know, really wholeheartedly throws himself into this, you know, embraces this process of chanting and taking prasadam, they'll be able to follow those rules and regulations, which are no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. They're not difficult to follow if you wholeheartedly throw yourself into, you know, this engaging in the process of chanting and taking prasadam. And then another thing is that, I think it was mentioned here in Prabhupada's purport, is that Lord Chaitanya predicted that this It says he predicted that this culture of Sankirtan would be broadcast all over the world, from town to town and village to village. That's a paraphrase of a statement from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which is one of the authorized biographies of Lord Chaitanya. Prativite achyata nagarati gram sarvacha prachora hoibe moi nam. That in every town and village, the chanting of this my name will be heard. So Lord Chaitanya made that prediction. And in addition to that, in the other authorized biography, there's about three or four of them actually on Lord Chaitanya, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is also referred to earlier in this purport. The author was Krishnadas Kaviraj. There's an instruction by Lord Chaitanya. He says, Yadi deka tade kaha Krishna upadesh, amara agnaya guruhana tade desh. That wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. In this way, you'll become a spiritual master and deliver everybody in your land. So that's how that prediction is going to be fulfilled. The way that prediction gets fulfilled is that the followers of Lord Chaitanya, the people who are, you know, accepting this philosophy and engaging in the process of chanting and taking prasadam, are meant to try to tell other people about it, share it with other people, you see? And that's also, you know, not very difficult. You know, actually, it's not very difficult at all. And our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has made it particularly easy for us because he's written so many books, you know, such as this Bhagavad Gita. He's given us so many Vedic literatures, which he's translated and commented upon, and all we really have to do is give people these books. And when they get the book, then you've told them about Krishna. That's the best way you could possibly tell them about Krishna. You know, give them one of Srila Prabhupada's books. And it's not a difficult thing to do. And I'm going to show you how easy it is right now because I'm going to give a practical demonstration. Okay. So, for this part of the class, we're going to need a volunteer from the audience. Or maybe we'll do a few. Okay, so, and we're going to make use of this idea of avatar. That's why I particularly selected this verse tonight. Okay, so let me have a volunteer from the audience. Somebody just stand up and walk towards me. Don't be shy. Okay. Sir, I like your hairstyle. I wish I could do that. Arizona, where are you from? Here in L.A. Okay, did you see that film Avatar? Okay, but you heard about it, right? Okay, let me show you this here. The idea actually came from this book. Yeah? Hold that for a second. Can you all hear? Yeah, the idea came from this book. Avatar is a Sanskrit word. See, this is Sanskrit. That's the oldest language in the world. And these are some of the avatars that people all over the world are familiar with. You've heard of Buddha. See, Buddha was an avatar. That's a picture of him there. There's Ram avatar. And I think the movie had something to do with Krishna because all the people in that movie were blue. See? And as you can see, Krishna's blue. See? Bluish. And the book also talks a lot about, explains a lot of other things such as karma. You heard that expression, what goes around comes around? Actually, this book doesn't have a picture of it. Somebody must have pulled it out. But there's a picture, usually in most of our books, a man with a bull's head and a bull with a man's head. And it shows, and you can just show them that and say, that's karma. You know, what goes around comes around. And meditation. And you can show them a picture of the yogi meditating. And I just ask people, can you sit like that? You know, and usually that's somebody sitting in a full lotus there. Usually they go, no. I said, well, don't worry about it. It's okay. And what's your name, by the way?
Carlos.
Carlos? Yeah, check it out. We're giving out what's left of 50,000 copies that were printed last year, and people just give a donation. Could you give a donation to help out? And that's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. I can tell you, I know I'm not talking through my hat, because I do it every day. That's what I'm doing all day, every day, all day. That's what I do. And usually, you know, about a couple dozen of these people, books go out, a couple dozen people take the Bhagavad Gita and give a donation. And it's very simple like that. You want to have one more volunteer? Just anybody. Walk forward. I'll just do the same thing again. You can just see it in action a few times and you'll, you know. Volunteer? Don't be embarrassed. Somebody? Okay. Yeah, good. Stand up. Just see it a couple times. Anybody can do this. That's what I'm saying. Sir, I like the spiritual appearance. Arizona, where are you from? And as you start, if you just give people a compliment. Los Angeles? Okay.
Qualify.
Did you see that film Avatar?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think? Interesting? Here, check this out. The idea actually came from this. Not necessarily the Bhagavad Gita, but definitely from the Vedic literature here. Hold on. Avatar is a Sanskrit word. See, that's Sanskrit. That's the oldest language in the world. And these are some of the avatars. You've heard of Buddha, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Buddha was an avatar. There's a picture of him right here. This is the Ram avatar. And I think the movie had something to do with Krishna, because all those people in the movie were blue, right?
Yeah.
And Krishna's blue. And it's nice because you're talking about Krishna. I mean, at least in some way or another, you get to mention Krishna, which is really, you know, encouraging. And then I say, and the book talks about, you know, explains a lot of other things such as karma. Or you could show them how we're more than just the body, you know, how the soul continues recycling. You've heard of that, right? And a lot about meditation. Can you sit like that? And, you know, they'll say yes, no, whatever. What's your name?
Bob.
Jeff.
Yeah,
check it out. We're just asking people to give a donation to help us out with the printing. Could you throw in a donation to help out?
Yes.
And that's it. You know, so in that way, you're fulfilling. Thank you. Round of applause for our volunteers. Thank you. In that way, you're fulfilling that instruction of Lord Chaitanya, which was wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. That's it. It's very simple. And if you feel like, oh, you know, I don't even know if I could, I don't feel confident to ask for a donation. Okay, don't. You know, it's like, this book is also in paperback. It's not very expensive. I mean, during the, it was about 2 months ago, they had this day called Gita Jayanti. It was the anniversary of the day the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. And on that day, at least on that day, you could purchase these Bhagavad Gitas for the cost price. The hardcover is like $5, and the soft cover is $2, even a little bit less, you see? Not very expensive. So, you know, if you're feeling like, oh, I don't know if I could, I don't feel comfortable to ask people for a donation, don't. You know, most of you here are working, and, you know, you have some income. So you could get a box of Bhagavad Gitas and just have it in your car, take them to work, you know, have them with you. And when you meet somebody who you just feel kind of, you feel comfortable with, you don't feel intimidated by, just say, hey, excuse me, did you see that film Avatar? Just start up a conversation. Did you see that film Avatar? And whatever they say, you say, what'd you think? You know, they say yes, no, and just, what'd you think? If they say no, you just say, well, but you heard about it, right? And they go, yeah. And then you just get into it like that. And if they say yeah, you say, well, what'd you think? And then you just do what I just said. You know, you just show them the picture, say, actually, Avatar is a Sanskrit word. It means one who descends from the spiritual world to the material world. These are different avatars. And you could use that exact same presentation. And then you'll see. A lot of people will respond with a lot of interest. They'll go, wow, that's interesting. You know, I didn't know that or whatever. And then you just go, hey, look, check it out. And if you feel self-conscious or about asking for donation, then don't. Just sponsor some Bhagavad Gitas. That can be your devotional service, your sankirtan. You know that you distribute the Bhagavad Gita like that. But you probably feel comfortable and you just ask for a donation and then you can at least recover your cost of, you know, the cost of printing on the book and you're distributing. You're preaching Krishna consciousness. You're doing the whole thing. You know, you're chanting Hare Krishna. You're taking prasadam, right? And then that's the foundation. And then you're doing the other part of it, which is, you know, doing what Lord Chaitanya said. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. This is certainly a very practical and effective way to tell people about Krishna by linking them up, hooking them up with one of Srila Prabhupada's books. You know? And, I mean, I could give you more detailed, you know, instruction afterwards, but, I mean, I think you get the idea. At least for the purpose of this class, I think I've said as much as, you know, probably it's appropriate to say. So does anybody have any question about any of these points I made during the class here? How did you? You guys speak louder. I might be getting hard hearing. I don't know, but I can. Do I? No. 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 You know, a Nitya Siddha can remember. I mean, Prabhupada said different things to sort of indicated that he was, you know, had some remembrance of his experience in the spiritual world. But an ordinary conditioned soul doesn't remember. How? Okay, I'll give you what I think is, Yeah, the question is, in the spiritual world, one of the qualities of the soul is chit, you know, sat chit ananda. So chit means knowledge. So if you had knowledge, you know, presumably you had knowledge not only of the spiritual world, but of the material world, you know, what it was like and what, you know, where it was at, so to speak. So how could a liberated soul choose to come here to the material world? See? So, well, I mean, did you ever do something, even in this lifetime, you know, you have intelligence, but did you ever do something that you knew wasn't an intelligent thing to do? Yes, you have choice. You have free will. So it's the same thing in the spiritual world. You might know something. I missed that. You made a mistake. Yeah, you made a mistake. Yeah. Why would you want to come to the material world if you're in the spiritual world? No, it's, well, hang on. Well, that's a conversation that can go on after the class. Thanks. But you have free will, and it's a very important part of, this relationship we have with Krishna, that Krishna doesn't want slaves or robots. He wants loving servants. So there's always that option there. There's always that opportunity there. You know, even devotees ask Prabhupada, it says in the Bhagavad Gita that, when you go back, you never come back here again. And Prabhupada, you know, at least in a conversation, he said, no, actually, potentially you can always come back here again. You won't, because just like somebody, if they burn their hand in the fire, then they're not going to, once burn, twice shy. You're not going to, you know, nobody needs to learn twice that fire burns. So, you know, according to that principle, somebody's not going to come back here again after going back to the spiritual world. But the possibility is there, because the free will is there. Yeah, well, you don't think it's, you're not thinking, like, now I'm going to choose misery. You're thinking it's going to be something better in some way, and it's a mistake. You make a mistake. You misjudged, you miscalculated. And as a result of miscalculating like that, you move here in the material world. Okay, hang on. We're going to... Madhavisa Prabhu, go ahead.
Say something. Bring the mic over
there. Bring the mic over there. We have a very senior Prabhupada disciple here. I just finished watching some of some beautiful videos of Prabhupada in Australia back in the early 1970s where Madhavisa was... He's his leading disciple there. He's the leader of the whole Australian Yatra. So he's here so he could say something about this.
I understand the question is, how could you fall from the spiritual sky if you have all knowledge? And the answer that Srila Prabhupada gave many times is that we have knowledge, but our knowledge is not infinitesimal. It's there's a small amount of knowledge. And even when we misuse that knowledge, we don't have the power to leave the spiritual sky. It also has to be facilitated by Krishna. Krishna has two qualities. He can cover you over and he can cast you down. You can't do that by yourself in the spiritual sky because it's the atmosphere is not there. But Krishna, because of your misuse of a small amount of intelligence, you have the intelligence, but it's small in amount. It's not complete as Krishna's. So therefore, by the misuse of that small amount of intelligence, you may want to occupy the position of Krishna. But Krishna says, well, you can't do that here in the spiritual world, but I'm not going to interfere with your independence, because without independence, there's no meaning of love. If I just force you to love me, then there's no real love there. So therefore, I have to allow you to facilitate your independence so you can come to this material world. This is what the material world is meant for. It's meant for the reformation of the souls that have made that mistake. So you're here in this material world, and Krishna sends, like Bhagavan said, the avatar, descending. Avatar means one who descends. So Krishna doesn't just throw you in the material world and abandon you here, as some modern, creationist would believe. He sends the avatar. He sends the messenger in the form of the avatar and the Shaktavasha avatar and the spiritual master to help you back home, back to Godhead. And eventually, although everybody is sojourning here in the material world for a long, long time, we'll all go back to home, back to Godhead. But depending on your obstinacy to enjoy here, it will determine how long you have to stay.
Yes, speak loud. Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyaksha, and Sisupala and Dantavakra. Right? Okay, Jaga Jaga. Yeah. Well, Prabhupada named his magazine Back to Godhead. How can you go back to someplace you haven't been? It's just that's one point. And there's so many different statements to the contrary throughout Prabhupada's books. You know, clear statements where Prabhupada indicates that we were in the spiritual world with Krishna, in a relationship with Krishna, and due to misuse of our free will, as Madhavisa described in his answer, very nice answer to Mataji's question, we were allowed to come here to the material world. That's our understanding. There's a lot of this very controversial point. It's not controversial for the people who are reading Prabhupada's books and accepting what Prabhupada has to say, but somehow or another, it's a controversial issue. Well, I can't off the top of my head. Yeah, I can't off the top of my head. Maybe I'm going to ask Madhavisa in a second. Perhaps he can. But I could tell you clearly, if I had like 20 minutes to research it, I could go on, like a what's called the Veda base, which is like a compilation of all Srila Prabhupada's books, and I could find a lot of references, at least from Prabhupada's commentaries and possibly from direct statements from, the Bhagavatam, direct statements from the Shastra. They're there. I just can't think of one off the top of my head. Madhavisa, can you off the top of your head? Okay, Prabhu?
Yeah, I've got a question. What would your advice be on, because you're talking about we're miscreants, we're fallen souls, we're rebellious. So, following Krishna's will, what would your suggestion be on learning what Krishna's will is, following Krishna's will in our lives, which would be through reading Prabhupada's books, praying to Krishna? What would your advice
be? Yeah, the spiritual master is the transparent via medium. If you want to understand what Krishna wants you to do, you just have to, learn what the teachings of the spiritual master. By executing the will of the spiritual master, by trying to assist Srila Prabhupada on his mission and following his instructions, you're doing what Krishna wants you to do. Because the spiritual master is his you know, is a representative. Transparent via medium, more bona fide representative. So simply by following the spiritual master, you're doing what Krishna wants you to do. Yeah, following the regulative principles, chanting, yeah, all the different instructions of the spiritual master. Obviously, there's a whole, you know, body of instructions. But by doing all the different things that you've learned that Prabhupada instructed us to do, you can understand that if you're doing those, then you're doing what Krishna wants you to do. You're living in compliance or in submission to the will of Krishna by following the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. Reading it and then putting it into practice in your life. Reading it and then doing what it says. Okay. A question from a new person? Question, yeah. Loud, because I think I might be going hard to hear him. So really,
pass the word.
Yeah.
And to
don't forget the second one. Take
the what the second one?
Which we're all going to do in a couple minutes. Don't worry.
Explain at the very beginning for just people just starting out, not to simplify this, but yes, to simplify this. What was the second thing that you suggested that you said?
Well, the first one is taking prasadam, eating food that's been first offered to Krishna with love and devotion, and has actually, as a result of that process, become transformed into spiritual food. And when you eat that food, it's not just that we're serving out a vegetarian feast here. It's prasadam. Prasadam is a Sanskrit word. It means the mercy of Krishna. And when you eat that food, which is vegetarian foodstuff, you actually get purified. You advance spiritually just by eating that vegetarian foodstuff, which has first been offered to Krishna with love and devotion. It's got a different, you know, it's a different nature. Okay? That's the first thing. Second thing is chanting Hare Krishna, which is also very easy. And then after you've done those two things for a while and you feel like, yeah, there's something to this whole thing, you know, if you're getting some positive feedback, so to speak, then you'll feel the confidence, you'll feel the inspiration and the inclination to want to share it with other people. And then when you do, then you could just, you can do that. One way you can do that, is just by giving them a book, because that's Prabhupada preaching. They're associating with Srila Prabhupada by reading one of his books. Okay? Let's stop there, and we'll take Smadaji's question after this. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So everybody knows what's next. The Sunday feast just across the street. Okay, thank you.